Premier Alan Windey, good afternoon.
Hi, John.
The secret of comedy is timing. It's really funny that you had your weekly Digicon while the budget was happening.
Yeah, I know. I mean, that was a bit concerning. I mean, but I suppose you make these plans, and I also don't like chopping and changing. I did spend a couple of minutes, or nearly 60 minutes, with Minister Mboweni this morning, along with a couple of the other premiers. So he gave us a rough outline of what's to be expected. And then, of course, we will start interrogating those numbers, and we take it to Cabinet in 2 days' time. We'll go back to Cabinet and start to unpack our numbers. I'm happy that there's extra money put aside for the COVID-19 fight, but, of course, on the other side, sure, a lot of cuts.
Yeah. Alan, did the issue of provincial supplies of vaccines come up? Because you said today that the Department of Health has made contact now with vaccine suppliers and manufacturers who responded to your call for vaccines. Today was the due date to supply all the required information. Once all this information is obtained, it'll be evaluated by the sourcing team. And it's not only your political opponents who think that you're making a mistake by going out on your own. Did that come up at all in the meeting with Trevor, with Tito Mboweni and the other premiers this morning?
No, not at all. I mean, I must just correct it. We're not going out on our own. What I'm doing is just saying I'm risk mitigating, and you know, I really don't think that we should be rolling out vaccines for the next 2 years. We need to get as many people vaccinated as possible, and if National can't supply and there's a shortfall, well, we will try to fill up that shortfall.
Okay, because I'm talking to Sadiq Karim about vaccinations and who's getting them and why, I'm not going to talk to you about that aspect of what you chatted about earlier, but just phases 2 and 3, planning is, because I mean, there's a relatively small number of vaccines. You've got only 13,000 doses, of which you've given out 41% so far. There are going to be more vaccines, we hope, in phases 2 and 3 of this particular J&J implementation study. What are you doing to get ready for the next phases?
Of course, I think we've got to use this as a learning curve. I mean, as I heard you say earlier, Sadiq's going to be talking about some of the teething problems where people are perhaps sneaking into the system that shouldn't be, or not high risk within our healthcare worker space. We must use that opportunity. We're also training as much as possible. I'm looking at the vaccinated database dashboard. We've got 3,562 vaccinators registered, of which 1,444 are trained as part of that plan, because at the end of the day, if we've got sufficient vaccines coming into the system, we need to try and get it done as quickly as possible. Can we vaccinate 100,000 people a day, or is it 150,000 a day? I don't know if we're going to be doing more than that. If I look at where we are, it's going to take us, it'll take us a while to get there, because we're learning from what's happening right now. There's a national system where you get an SMS at the moment. We've got backup systems in case that fails. So, yeah, I mean, we've got a plan that's on the framework of a plan that's on our website. But the actual stuff is where you start to learn every single day, where people are queuing at our hospitals. Are we managing the queues properly? Is the SMS system getting through? We see a bit of frustration coming through. And, of course, I mean, I also put out a warning, so it's absolutely unacceptable if you're trying to squeeze in as a frontline health worker when in actual fact you may be stuck in an admin office or something. I mean, that's unacceptable and totally unfair for our frontline workers. We have a restriction on the number of vaccines, so let's make sure we get the right people, into the trial. As long as they want to be in the trial, let's get them vaccinated and protect them from the next wave, which is scheduled to be when we get to winter.
Okay, the situation at the moment, the R number is 0.78. Anything below 1 is good. The closer towards 0, better. 7-day rolling average of new infections declined by 16%. Hospital admissions declined by 11% over the past week. Deaths by 40%. Proportion of tests returning a positive result now below 10 at 8%. 65 healthcare workers currently COVID-19 positive. At the peak, 1,000 were positive at one time. Oxygen use at 37 tons a day, which is well below the 70 plus at the peak. So those are good numbers, and the trends are in the right direction. But what are your modelers telling you about that third wave?
So they expect, and so far, I mean, they're doing this, still continuing with the numbers now, but I mean, the latest data is that normally what happens is we do get our flu season starting as the seasons change and we move towards winter. So, I mean, I suppose in my own mind, it's Easter weekend onwards because you notice the change in weather from then. And so I think that's when our risk starts to go up as we move into winter. I also think the other risk is that, you know, I mean, people, everyone, there's an excitement because we've got vaccine trial rollout. It's not actual vaccine rollout, so we must just be careful there. And it's a very small number. And we must also understand that in the cabinet report back today, almost every single region were reporting that, you know, people are much more relaxed. You know, mask wearing is a thing of the past. And, you know, I'm just sort of putting out that message again. We must remember this is not over yet. And, you know, we've got to be careful that this is not a, you know, repeat of last year. If everyone knows what to do, please still try and keep to that protocol. You know, avoid the congested areas. You know, keep your social distancing. We know what to do and I understand the frustration, but, you know, a third wave and a fourth wave, and we must learn from what's happening in other countries. You know, they're stuck in their third wave and we've got to make sure that we mitigate this risk. It's a difficult thing to do as citizens, and I know that we're all up to our ears in it, but and so sick and tired of it, but we've all got to play our part.
Premier Alan Windey, thanks as always for making time available to talk to us.